Jaguar CBA Mobile.
Say it ain't so. Send 0TR.
Hell, I could, but I'd be lying, Tom. What are you doing today?
I was just sending the daughter, my youngest grandson, some GE Aerospace Technology, an article I read about a new engine. He likes airplanes, so I thought he might be interested.
Aerospace Technology. Well, that sounds interesting. Probably above my pay grade. did you get Rusty's radio squared away yesterday?
No, we quit. We were just thinking of more gouges to throw out there at you, and so we just sat around and wrote down a list of them.
Oh, y'all probably have a long list, if that's what you did. Oh, me. Last year, into next year.
Rusty thought Dave was saying today, thought he might have made you mad. I said, no way. we just started. Sure. Yeah, he got her done, and he's real happy with it. And I give him a remote speaker for his car. One of those Radio Shack 4-inch speakers. They work real well. I had a couple of extras. And he's just like Willie Nelson. He's on the road again.
That's good. Yeah, I got a couple of Motorola speakers when I worked for the county. And I'm still using them. I use one in the house and one in the car.
They didn't have as long a piece of wire on them, and I just thought this that Radio Shack one's like the one I got in the car and the truck, and I had two extras, and I had two Motorolas. I don't know if there was another one or not, Dave, but I just had them in a box down there and probably never use them, so they generally last forever. The Motorolas are good speakers, too, and they're a little thinner. They're about 2 inches thick, whereas the Radio Shack one is about 4 inches thick.
Let's see. The one in the house is, I guess I need to paint it again. I took the speaker out and painted the case the color of the interior of the car. At the time, which was tan, and so now it would look better if it was black. So now I need to do the same thing. I think black was its original color anyway.
What gets me is about 90% of those speakers that you can buy to go along with a new radio. Like the Kenwoods and different ones, they get a tremendous price out of them. And you open one up, and like I said, there's 10% that vary a little bit, but not by much. And the band pass on voice is not that great anyways on single sideband. And all there is in there is a 4-ohm speaker or an 8-ohm speaker. But they'll charge you a lot more if it's in that Kenwood box.
Yeah, I've noticed that the speakers are expensive. I bought, I can't remember what it's called now. Steve told me about it, and I think they're like $99, but they take. They clean up some of the audio for you, and it's about the same size as the Motorola, but it really sounds good, especially on the HF rig.
If you remember rightly, I sold that one to you.
You may have. I don't remember where I got that got that speaker from. But it sure does a good job. I use it on HF, and I use the Motorola on 2 meters, and my old 2 meter radio that I have in the house. So anyway, so each radio's got its own speaker. You know, with my ears, I need all the help I can get. My ears ring all the time, so especially when I'm in the car, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand people with the road noise and everything. And I need all the help I can get.
Bernie says that tinnitus is really bad. I have it some, and I think it's something that's kind of like cataract. So you get it with old age, whether you want it or not. And there's no cure for it. I don't care how much they tell you that they can't. And you just have to bear with it and then get hearing aids and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, that speaker was Rocky Mountain or something. I don't know. And I knew better than to buy it. But he was touting it. Steve was touting it as being really good. There is nothing wrong with it. I just didn't see on my radio that there was any great improvement like I was told, and so I think I give around 100 for it. I think I sold it to you for around 50. I just didn't want it. I found a Kenwood, and I didn't pay the big bucks for the Kenwood. It was something that come along with something I got one time. Oh, I know what it was. It was from a friend of mine's wife that passed away up in Kansas, and she didn't have any use for it, and she gave it to me. And I forgot about that. That was Jack Drenix. And I worked with him for 32 years, and Jack and I was real close. But at any rate, I'm glad you enjoy it. And I still see those sold in the magazines and that, so somebody must think they're pretty darn good. And I know the ICOMs and the Yaesus and that, if you buy them with their name on it, oh, you'll pay over $100 for those things.
You're right. Well, I'm pulling into the dead zone here for a minute. I pick up my pizza, and I'll be back if you're going to be in there. But when I pull around this building here, I'm going to completely drop out. So, but anyway, talk to you in a minute if you're going to be there. KP4CBA.
You say you're a dropout, Dave? W2T.
I want to listen to this news about this airline crash and the weather, guys. So I'll turn it over to Rusty and catch you all later. N0TR. It's just coming on. For a minute, Rusty. He just in a dead zone there by Paris Mountain. I imagine on Pleasant Burg or something. N0TR.
Yep, I know where he is. Not a problem. Talk to you in a little bit, W2T.
4CBA Mobile.
Are you sure about that?
Pretty much since 1982. Well, I tell you, the traffic is just unreal here. Trying to pull out onto Edwards Road here, and I think everybody and their brother with their aunt and uncles and everybody else, the dog and the cat are driving by both directions. Anyway, I finally got going.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you were safe out there and everything, so. But since nobody's hit you, I guess you're okay. And anyway, so what'd you buy for supper?
I know I went to Papa John's, I know we got a cheese pizza because the grandsons are at the house, so one of those is a cheese pizza, and then one's a cheese and pepperoni, and then the other one's for me. It's I forget what they call like a pizza with no crust, and it is good.
It come from Papa John's. I haven't tried their crustless pizza yet, but somebody else said it was good, so I guess it is.
The low carb stuff, and I used to eat the top off the pizza, and then we were at the Pizza House in Easley. The waitress said, "Well, next time just order a calzone without the bread," and she said it's the same thing, and so that's what I did. But anyway, they actually make them now without the crust, so they're catching on.
Are you staying out of
trouble today? Yeah, played tennis this morning, and I noticed your radio's sounding good, so y'all, Tom said y'all got it finished up and had time to sit around and talk about me and write down a few things that y'all were gonna say about me when I got on the air.
You know, we didn't want you to feel left out, my friend. You know, we were thinking about you, you know, knew you needed some encouragement, and we were just figuring out ways we could encourage you along. Tom has the list, so you need to talk with him. And I'm actually on the house radio right now, but the other one's in the car, and it's working good, so I'm glad for that. We got it installed. And, you know, it was fun or whatever. We had a chance to talk and everything else and at the same time, and had a chance to get the work on the radio, so everything worked out there.
And I can't think of any more deserving person than Dave in 0TR.
Devil, and there he is. So, what kind of vehicle did you put it in, Rusty?
I have a 2019 Hyundai Tucson with right at 50,000 miles on it, so good deal.
I just wanted to tell you guys, that plane crash last night was a single-engine aircraft. It had two people coming from Knoxville, and they lost their engine, and they managed to get it restarted, and with a big bang. That's a bad sign on aircraft of that type. And it usually blows a stack or something if you get a big backfire, exhaust stack. But then they lost the engine again, and it crashed on the I-26, ran into the back of a semi-truck, cut power lines, and both of them walked away from it. How about that?
That just sounds miraculous. You know, if I got on the plane, that's probably what would happen.
They don't let you off.
Like 8,500 flights a day. I think if I was a betting man, I'd bet against that, Dave.
They say it's a lot safer than driving, so, yeah, I guess you have to believe the statistics, but I tell you, if I got on an airplane, it's going down. That'd just be my luck.
He's luck again this afternoon talking to us like that, isn't he, Tom?
You know, you're a minister and ordained, I think, in a master's degree, and you ought to know better than that. If it's your time to go, the good Lord's going to get you whether you like it or not. We all have a finite number there, Dave. But the airplanes are the least of my worry, although I can't hardly do it anymore. I have to get somebody to push me through the airports in a wheelchair, and I don't like that. But it's a very much safer way to travel, especially compared to the drivers down here. It's, you know, I don't believe I'd go out and get the cheapest airline to fly on, but even those guys have to go through a lot of training before they turn them loose. But I've been in the cockpits many times, and I just don't see the danger. Now, if you're in a single-engine airplane, statistics prove out that someday you're probably going to have an engine-out situation, and you practice for that. In your initial training, they'll do that with you. Even Dave Watson's been through that. And I've been up when they shut one of the engines off on the two-engine plane. And we always shut one off when working over a Soviet submarine or something. We always shut one down to conserve fuel and then restarted it. So your worries are not founded with me, Dave.
I know what you're talking about. I have flown, but a couple of times, different times, but I'm just not a fan. Let me just put it that way. Yeah, I had a friend of mine in Charleston that took some pilot lessons and flying lessons, and he said the guy would just reach over and shut the engine off and say, okay, land the airplane. So he said you were always looking for a place to land when you were flying that thing, because you never knew when he was going to do that. And then once he saw that you were, you know, going to be able to land, then he would start the engine back up, and they'd go on.
He'd start the engine back up, you know. It's always interesting. I thought one time I'd like to learn to fly, but never had the chance to. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you think about wanting to do, and then you think about it, and you think about it, and unfortunately, it's that second think about it that gets you in trouble.
Terrible amount of money nowadays, Dave, and to go out and bore holes in the sky. And the small planes, they just don't have that much range on them, and they burn a lot of fuel. And now that small plane I flew in down here at the Greenville, the regular airport, not GSP, the municipal airport, I'm trying to think of the name of it. They have a parachute built into them nowadays. But I don't think, and I'm not sure of this, but I don't think they really shut the engine off, Dave. They bring it to flight idle, which means you have no propulsion. You're just gliding. But, and then they just bring it back up. I don't think they shut it completely down when they do that. But you'd have to ask Dave or somebody. I've never been through that procedure on a small single-engine plane. I'm not a big fan of those either. Seems like the wind has got you more than you got the wind. And I flew in a little 150 Cessna over Wichita one time in 20 to 30 mile an hour gusts, and it really bounces you around something fierce, about like being in a speedboat on choppy water. And I just never did care for too much of that. I've been in some terrible turbulence on Navy planes and some pretty bad turbulence on civilian airliners, but never did get too concerned about it. But to each his own. If you don't like to fly, don't fly. Oh, shoot. Well, I was glad to hear those guys escaped that, because I thought for sure they were dead. I thought there was four people, but Channel 4 just said there was just two people in it. And to walk away from that, you ought to have seen that fire. It was tremendous. And the only thing left was the vertical and the horizontal stabilizers on the tail. The rest of it was gone. This is N0TR. Bernice said, I got to get ready to eat, guys, so I'll let you go. And Rusty, I'm having barbecue sandwiches, thanks to you. This is N0TR 73, guys.
All right, now I got to jump out of here, too. I'm sitting here the hot pizza in the driveway, so 73 is KB4 CPA.
I used to do some, had a pilot here locally that I could, worked with that when I was doing some aerial photography, and she would slow that plane down, and it would get slower and slower and slower, and you'd wonder if it was gonna stick around. And then she'd get it to a certain spot where I could take my pictures, and then she'd speed the engine back up, and we'd motor on our way. So that's always something that will get your attention too. Talk to you later, Dave. Before CBA W2T 73s.
Yeah, he was in the driveway and double with you, though, but he's got a hot pizza and headed for the house. Yeah, they call that crabbing into the wind, and they do it till they get down to stall speed to keep the vibrations away from the camera. I did a little bit of that. But the pilots tend not to listen to you. They do what they want. But yours was doing it right. See you later, Rusty. Gotta go eat W2T and 0TR73.